We are at the tail end of camp season for First Baptist, and I know Earl's had a great experience last week with the children. I had a couple weeks before that with students. I love camp. And so today's message, and I apologize in advance because I gave Jim Terry the PowerPoint, and I told him just before service, Jim, I know you did a lot of work on that, but I had two sermons in one, which I often do, and as I whittled it down, most of your PowerPoint's going to be mute. It's going to be all over the place compared to what I actually have. But I am going to talk about the theme that we had at the two student camps, wonder. And obviously, the wonder of God is at the center of that. Our 5 days were the wonder of God, the wonder of God's you, in other words, how God's created us, the wonder of the cross, the wonder of God's grace, and then walking in that wonder. And so we dove into this and spent a lot of time talking about who is to be the source of our wonder and what is the enemy of that source or of that wonder. And I love it when I take students on trips because we see things that cause them to, their eyes to just bug out. And the wonder of God just, you know, overflows. When we pulled up, whenever we come up on the Grand Canyon, I'm worried that our bus is going to tip over. Because the moment, you can describe the Grand Canyon all you want, but the moment you see it, it's like, whoa. Nothing that I heard before really described this. It's like a picture, we can only get a little portion of it. But there, you've got 360 and you realize, this baby is big. And same way when you see the mountains. This last summer, we were going from Texas through New Mexico, and one of the boys sitting up there in the bus by me, when he saw a hill in New Mexico, he said, is that the mountains? Now, he's from Kansas, so I said, in Kansas, we would call that a mountain because we don't have those in Kansas much. But I said, that's not the mountains you're going to see. And when he saw them, he came unglued. And you kind of forget sometimes what that's like, or the first time you see the ocean. It's easy to describe it, but then when you see it firsthand, it takes you back. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about wonder. We're talking about a relationship with God that keeps us in that sense of wonder, that it becomes an integral part of our daily walk. In our culture, we seek the spectacular, the sensational, the thrill. And we can easily find ourselves in wonder of the created instead of the Creator who is behind every good thing. Wonder should point us to God. I'm a lover of smartphones, but when you have a smartphone, you understand real quick, I can either let this thing control my life or I can learn to use it in a way that's fitting. And it will control your life if you let it. Most of us have lived long enough to remember when there wasn't cell phones. And when I talk to students like this, I know I'm fearful that they're looking at me like, you are old. But I grew up with a party line, and then, which you guys understand what I'm saying, they thought, oh, you had a line that was for parties? They didn't understand at all. You have to describe it, and then they just think, wow, and I'm going, hey, we all got in trouble over that, in some way or another. But we didn't know any better. And as it seems as if as things, we have new inventions and new things that are supposed to make our lives simpler, they tend to just create an appetite for busy. And so there has to be a measure of control that we learn with those things because they will vie for our attention. And next thing you know, they're controlling our lives. None of these things are bad in themselves. I have one in my pocket. I'm making sure it's not on. They're not bad in them of themselves, but they definitely can control our lives if we don't watch it. And we need to guard that part of our lives. I want to walk in with the Spirit. I want to be close to God. And I don't want worrying about all the things that might come in that have nothing to do with really any all that important to control me. I think back when I was a kid, my dad, science teacher, and we're at camp because he was the manager of the camp, and he would take us out and show us the constellations, and we would look at the stars and just be amazed. And he real quick showed us Cassiopeia, which I think ironically looks like a W for wonder. You do that when you're a youth pastor. Everything relates to something. But that helped me understand a little bit of what King David said in Psalms 8. The back of our camp shirts, sorry, I got a ball down here too, and it's rolling around. But the back of our camp shirts, and this was our camp shirt, but the back of it says, "No heart can measure, no tongue can speak, no mind can fathom in 1,000 dreams the wonder of God." That was me sitting around trying to cook up with my small vocabulary some kind of expression that somehow helps us see God is like way bigger than we think he is. We have a tendency to downsize it. One of the things that I do when we go on a mission trip, and anybody that's been on a mission trip knows this is the deal. You surrender your cell phone. The other rule is you lay down your boyfriend, girlfriend situation for the duration of the trip. Both of those are designed to step you out of your typical world and allow God to have total access to you. And I'm telling you, you would think that I was the toughest guy in the world, because it's like, you can't take my cell phone from me. And it happens all the time. And I'm not going to talk about the boyfriend, girlfriend thing, because that gets the same thing sometimes with certain people. But once they do that, once they allow it to begin to happen, they see what happens. When you set that aside for a period of time and you have total access, you're more in tune with what God is saying to you. You're more in tune with what the people around you are doing. Your relationships go up. Just the light bulb turns on that there's something about this. There's something about setting aside these things and maybe fasting from them for this period of time. And it's funny because now the older ones tell the younger ones why it's worth it. I don't really have to explain too much. They're busy pulling them aside and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Once you surrender your cell phone, you'll still be okay. You'll find out why it makes sense. I also think about when I go to middle school camp, one of my favorite things to do, and the reason I like middle school camp at the campground, I like the camp too, but is that there I can fully see the sunset and the sunrise. When you live in the town like we do, it's hard. You have to. We did Easter. We went out there and we actually saw the sun come up. And that's neat. And we're kind of used to driving by the lake and I see lots of little snapshots. But to sit there and just watch the sun rise and the sun set, it is so peaceful. It is so full of the presence of God. And in our culture, our rush, rush, busy, busy, that's attractive. That's why God calls us to take time away from it, to see that we're not what we do as a job, we're his. We're followers of him. And that time is precious. I also get there occasionally, because I get up way before anybody else, I get to occasionally see some deer walk across the campground. And it's ironic, because those are the same campgrounds that kids are going to be running around all day. But at 5:30 in the morning, it's just the deer maybe sneaking across the campground. And it's just awesome. The world around me can be falling apart. I call it crazy world. Right now, I got a daughter and son-in-law that's moving to Shreveport. She's starting on staff at First Baptist Shreveport. I've got a son and his family that's moving back from England. I'm trying to help them secure some transportation, and all this is great. We're going to have all four of our grandkids in our house for 4 months, so I can't lose any more hair. That's already been done. But I also, if you hear me complain, slap me, because for 2 years, we've been just FaceTiming and looking at their pictures and having them go, hey, Grandpa, and you're like, I can't hug you, you know, so it's hard. And it'll be a precious time, and it's just for a short time. But to know that we're going to be together. But there's just a little whirlwind around us. But in the midst of that whirlwind, God wants us to pull aside. He wants us to set aside that time to be able to be in His presence and His power to speak to us. In Psalm 8, it says, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels, and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So this morning, I want us to think, how is it that we allow God to jumpstart wonder in our life? Because it is very, very attractive. How do we redirect ourselves to experience God's presence daily? Well, it starts with God sizing, the size of God in our eyes. Louis Giglio once said, sin has a way of shrinking God down in our minds and puffing ourselves up. And so, to understand what a big God is, sometimes we have to stop and do what David did as he looked and said at the stars and thought, whoa, that we need to see that. And Isaiah did the same thing in his commissioning. In Isaiah 6:5, he says, woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. This was after the glimpse that he had of the King on the throne. We watched a video at camp that Louis did, and it was just a portion of his talk, and it's called Star Maker. And that put things in perspective, and the students, once I bring a golf ball out, they're going to know exactly where I'm going with that. But he goes into great detail, but he talks about if the earth were the size of this golf ball. And he goes through all these things, but he ends up with the largest star that we know of. It's called Canis Majoris. And that largest star is 7 quadrillion times the size of this. Now, most of us, quadrillion, how does that relate? Well, this if you've been to the state of Texas, you know it's big. I've driven from one end to the other and just thought, where does this thing end? And so this, if you took the state of Texas, the whole state of Texas, and you stack golf balls 22 inches high, that's how big this star is compared to the earth. Now, if you didn't think God was big before, that's just one of billions of stars that he has created. It helps us maybe upsize God and realize why he is so, so worthy to be worshipped. In the beginning of Psalm 8, he says, O Lord, our Lord. The first Lord there is Yahweh, the great I am, the one who was, is, and will forever be, the only uncreated being in the whole universe. The second Lord, Adonai, means sovereign Lord. So God is eternal. He's separated from all creation, but has graciously entered into a covenant relationship with his people as their sovereign Lord. O Lord, our Lord. That is a big phrase. Next to that phrase, he says, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Majestic denotes royalty. And King David understood royalty. He understood that for a commoner to come in his presence, it was a frightening and awesome, awe-inspiring moment for that person. You see, the position of the king demanded that. King David knew, I'm just an earthly king. I'm nothing compared to the king above all kings. That's far, far above all kings, God. So to be in his presence was like no other. And it helps us to rightly put the fear of God in our lives so that we see God for who all he is. And we fall in love with the fact that he loves us to the degree that he does. The evidence of his majesty in the earth, just look at the human body. Now, for a lot of us, our eyes are failing us. I started wearing glasses, and I have a pair of glasses I wear for mowing that I wore like 3 years ago, and I can't read with those anymore. And so your eyes are failing. But to know how complex just the human eye is. The human brain has 10 billion nerve cells interacting in coordination to allow us to function as we do. Our eyes have about 100 million receptor cells in each retina, which contains four other layers of nerve cells. The system makes billions of calculations per second, traveling through your optic nerve to the brain, which has more than a dozen separate vision centers to process it. And all we do is open our eyes, and all this happens. If that's not enough, just thinking about traveling across the known universe, always, whenever we say that, I'm thinking, how much is there that we don't know, which might even scare us even more. But it would take you 20 billion years at 186,000 miles per second to travel across the known universe. How do you fathom that? God is that big, and yet he's that personal with us, and he chooses to live inside of us. That causes wonder in God to rise up in me. And David as well, he said, who are we that you are mindful of us? Human beings, that you would care for us. The second thing that I would point out is that God needs to help. We need to ask God to help us balance the speed of our lives. And we have a lot of things that need to be done in our lives. We have a lot of things that a lot of us do for a living. And it's easy to think, especially I'm a guy, so sometimes we have more problem with this than you ladies, but it's easy for us to see our identity in the things that we do instead of whose we are. And so our identity is in Christ. And yeah, we work. We're to work. And working hard is a good thing. And I love to work hard. But God wants me to slow down too. He wants me to see that my purpose on this life isn't just to work hard. My purpose is to walk with him. And slowing down and letting him invest in me and me learn and more about his presence helps me to walk every day with him, even when I'm busy. He calls us to slow down the busy machine and sit with him, to marvel at his creation, to get outdoors. That, you know, when we were kids, that wasn't a big deal. There was no AC, so you weren't running around in the house much. You were outdoors all the time. Now, kids play video games and do other things, and they find themselves on a nice, beautiful day inside the house the whole time. We need to chase them out early and let them know there's a world outdoors that you need to experience. One of the ways that I measure, and it's a good way to measure, the fruit of the Spirit, that's how we measure the wonder of God we have. In Galatians 5, it says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So to know, how am I doing? Am I spending enough time with you, God? Well, how are the fruit of your Spirit, how is that present in my life? The third thing and final thing, seek to be Spirit-led versus anxiety-driven. Galatians 5:25, just right after the other passage. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. One of the things that can happen with busyness, as we probably all learned the hard way, is that carelessness can happen. Sin can creep in when we're going at a record pace, when we don't have that sense of wonder in our lives. And it may not be like big, obvious, out in front, in the newspaper sin, but it could be a lack of spending time with God. Because as a follower of Christ, I want to follow Him so close that the dust from His sandals is on me. That's a good way to think about how to follow Christ. Now, if you're a guy, and even if you're a woman, you know this about guys. We have a problem. We like to fix stuff, right? And that can be good, and it can be bad. We jump in and we start fixing things. And then we get something out, we start putting it together, and then we get to a point and we go, geez, where's the manual? And we go find the manual because there's something here I don't understand finally, and I need the manual. Well, unfortunately, Galatians 5 is calling us to keep step with the Spirit. And if we approach our walk with Jesus, if we approach God's Word like a manual, guys, we're going to mess up. Because we don't just go to God's Word or go to spend time with God when we get stumped. He wants us to walk with Him closely and to see the Bible not as an operations manual, but as the living Word of God, as His way to communicate with us every day. He wants it to be in our hearts and on our minds. And that comes from a consistent relationship. I remember as a kid, the Karate Kid movie. It's actually, I looked it up, it's 30 years ago from now. And so that dates me a little bit. I was an adult at that time, 27 years old, so I wasn't a kid. But in that has the famous wax on, wax off, wax on, wax off. And I didn't look up the boy's name, and it's been a while, so I forgot. But he knew it all, right? It's like my dad told me when I was 14, I can't wait till you're 21. And I kept saying, why? He goes, when you're 21, you'll know that when you were 14, you didn't know it all. And that's what his problem was. He needed to learn from the master. He needed repetitiveness and hard work. A quality walk with God is a disciplined walk. It takes hard work, and it takes repetitiveness. It takes consistent time with God. There's no shortcut. I put on here Microwave Dave. That's the way sometimes I am in my life. I compartmentalize everything, and I got time for you, God. Oh, okay, yeah, great. And I'm off. It's like I'm going to the grocery store. And guys, you know, on the way home, your wife calls, hey, don't forget to pick up ice. You go to the grocery store, and you're like, okay, I got to get ice. I got to get in and out. Which line's shortest? Keep conversations quick. Got to go. And sometimes that's the way I treat God. The guy that created all this stuff, and I'm saying, hey, God, give me a word. Hurry. I need your help. Oh, hurry. You know? And that's the way I treat that relationship. When I do that, I'm not full of wonder for Him. My wonder is in something else. There's a song, I love the song we sang right after communion, because we sing that in the second service as well. Beautiful song. There's another song that we sing, and it's called a Revelation song. And the words in it were inspired from reading about the worship in Revelation and thinking of themselves as being present there. The third verse goes, filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name, Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. See, Jesus is the greatest wonder of all. And what he did on the cross is bigger than anything I've described today. And that's a whole nother sermon, but to wrap this sermon up, to think of what Jesus has done for us is mind-boggling. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we are in constant wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Today we pray that you will speak to us about what it means to walk with you and what wonder will fill our souls as we do. Remind us again and again of your majesty. Help our senses to be filled with that knowledge. Help us to keep step with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.